Earlier this month, hip-hop fans mourned the death of rapper DMX, who died at just 50 years old. Throughout his chart-topping career, DMX was often forthcoming about the challenges in his personal life. He grew up in the housing projects in Yonkers and was physically abused by multiple adults in his life. DMX often displayed his vulnerability in the lyrics of his songs, and he also gave back frequently to his community through charity work with children. Today, that tenderness that was a part of DMX's personality is something many rappers are even more openly exploring. Changing notions of masculinity have allowed musicians to be more vulnerable in both their work and stylistic choices. And that includes Kid Cudi, who wore a floral dress on Saturday Night Live this month in tribute to Kurt Cobain, and Lil Nas X, who recently released a provocative music video for his song Montero. Joining me now to talk about this evolution is Craig Jenkins, music critic for New York Magazine. Craig, thanks for being with me.
Hi, and thanks for having me.
So some people only know DMX through his big hits, but how did he present himself in some of the songs that were his deeper cuts? Tell us about sort of that level of vulnerability.
Between the hit records, you know, he was a very haunted man. And you could hear it just in the delivery and the stories that he would tell. He would talk about, you know, feeling like he was in a tug of war between forces, you know, of good and evil. And that really, it's the story of his entire life, you know, from growing up where he grew up and, you know, falling into crime because teachers and, you know, family couldn't really understand him or figure out how to educate him in a way that was advantageous, you know, to run-ins with the law when he got famous. You know, he's just always was in the middle of good and evil.
You know, DMX was of that generation of hip-hop artists in the 90s, and that the sort of hyper-masculinity that surrounded that era of hip-hop is often something that's talked about. But how would you describe the version of masculinity DMX embodied?
He was tough because he had to be. You know, you grew up somewhere where there was the possibility that you would have to fight, that you would get robbed. And so you have to put up a certain kind of a veneer, you know, just to stay safe. And I mean, you know, there was also the element of criminality that he was involved in that, you know, necessitated a certain image. And, you know, to be a stick-up kid, you have to, who doesn't wear a mask, this guy was robbing people face-to-face for a while to make ends meet, you have to portray a certain image. And, you know, the pathway from that kind of a thing into hip-hop is, you know, well trod. History in the street translates well to the records. And so, you know, that made hip hop sort of become a place where those stories could get told. And, you know, not necessarily in a way that moralizes them, you know, that gets into the why of why that stuff happens and why it exists.
Right. Like, it's not just done for the sake of making albums. It was actually really happening. I am of that era, so I can attest to that reality, particularly in New York. We also talked a little bit about, Craig, about Lil Nas X and Kid Cudi in the introduction, about how they're sort of pushing the boundaries of masculinity in many ways, turning it on its head and in their music. How would you describe how masculinity comes across in their work?
It's different. There's a bigger range of expression. There's not necessarily this mandate that you have to portray a certain image in order to come across as masculine. The walls are eroding, and it's allowing people to be more expressive incrementally over time. So, you know, with Lil Nas X, that single is really the culmination of maybe 20 years of advances, slow advances. But, you know, it's nice to see that we're at a place where, you know, someone can make a video like Montero and have it resonate with people and not make everyone too crazy.
And of course, even prior to Lil Nas X and Kid Cudi and DMX, Prince was someone who also pushed boundaries in a lot of ways. Did he help lay the foundation for what we're seeing Kid Cudi and Lil Nas X and others being able to do?
In a lot of ways, yes. Prince definitely opened doors for male expression. But in another sense, you know, he was kind of a paragon of a very specific time, you know, in the 80s, where everyone believed that everyone else was straight. And his religiosity also sort of like was a shield in that respect. So, yes.
And he wasn't Prince competing in hip hop. He was really more of sort of his own thing and a rock icon in many ways, right?
Yeah, his own genre that you could see inside rock that often fit inside of it. Yes. So it was a different field and there are different expectations.
You wrote a piece in 2017 saying rap is less homophobic than ever, but it still has a long way to go. Does it still have a way to go?
It does. And, you know, it's great that we can have, you know, a gay rapper have the number one song in America. But there's also still very much a climate of homophobia and a climate of transphobia that is, as, you know, rights battles on those fields intensified, you know, really kind of flaring up in hip hop. You're getting a lot of rappers making a lot of statements that, you know, sort of seem rooted in the old ways of thinking.
In their work or just in comments to the media and things like that?
Outside of the work, but occasionally in the work as well. You know, I was just having this conversation with a friend. There are certain words that don't get used with the frequency that they would say 20 years ago, even in a DMX record. But the attitudes that informed the language aren't necessarily fully cleared up just yet.
So what do you think needs to improve in hip hop so that we can continue along this this evolution that we're seeing from, you know, DMX to, you know, his vulnerability to now seeing what Lil Nas X and Kid Cudi are doing?
I think that we just need to see more people express more ways of living in order to get more acceptance and understanding of those ways of living, in short.
And do you think the fan base has anything to do with that? I mean, the fan base and what the fans are looking for, is that driving some of this? Or is this really artist-driven and the fans are just more receptive to it?
Well, everything is connected. You know, it's the country that everyone lives in. And it's the attitudes that, you know, grow in that climate. And it's the industry. And they're all sort of like feeding into each other. And it's a circuit that I feel like could easily be broken.
Well, we'll be paying attention for the next big thing. Craig Jenkins is music critic for New York Magazine. Craig, thanks so much.
Thank you.